David's son and David's Lord. In Matthew 22, Jesus, the one teacher, flips human understanding back in line, addressing David as the father's son, man-child, and the father truly as David's Lord. A counselor I work with would highlight how everyone's a believer in their own delusions. We are all delusional, and everything's fine until someone else comes along insisting that their delusions are the writer delusions. Can anything be more frustrating? David's delusions are deep and wide. His dying words are words of vengeance and not love. Today he takes the words of God in 1 Samuel 7 and makes them his own so that David's dynasty is to be secure as it should be. As he heard the words of the Lord, he made them work for him and his own. God speaks of a temple, and David and Solomon twist and turn it into their dynasty and not the intentions of the depths of our Lord's wisdom, which are beyond our wildest imaginations. Images from the text today for us to live into God's imagination include the House of Faith challenge of 1 Samuel 7, Romans 11 challenge, the root, tree, branches, and grafted wild branches, and Romans 12 challenge, living, collaborative, loving body faith. Our God is living and breathing and sovereign. Our faith is living and breathing and in need of some help. We are, each of us, a cog or a tooth in the gears of momentum and in each system that we rely upon. Each of us has his teeth in and is accountable to the houses we sit in, our homes, friends, work, extended family, places of business, church, country, the Lord's house. We help keep each system clicking and ticking along. And to what end? What are the illusions and delusions in our heads? And frankly, are we all out of our minds? I make a steady warning to my math class minds every year, almost daily. As concepts are taught, I say to students, you'll say to yourself, I already know this, and all there is ever to be said about this concept in math, or, now I get it, and everything that will ever be said about it again. And I say over and over, slow your roll. Don't rush this. Take your time, show your work, so that you and I can learn from mistakes. And isn't that us? It is proven that we as humans easily deceive our very own selves. As soon as a concept is beginning to be understood, we usually race ahead without careful pondering and evaluation, thinking we've got it all figured out and have all the answers. As we take a look in our rearview mirror through the seasons past in our lives, remember how confident we have been when we've learned so much, and even then how wrong we still have been and still are. With every new step of growth, we race on ahead, or we seize up in a surety not to be swayed or impacted by any possible exceptions, elaborations, clarifications. We have our certitudes. We are very much like regularly struggling and just as regularly overconfident middle school math students. And humanity can also, we collaborate so well now and then. Collaboration with a sound and a meaning that's so sweet. Yet when revealed in Tower of Babel style, as right as it seems, it is doomed. Whether we're building up our good families, or good organizations, or good efforts to each, let's say only the Father is good, so that each individual and cooperative effort gets a regular dose and dousing of humility. So our good Father again and again remains first and foremost as creator, sustainer of creation and faithful living. It's so intriguing to me. It's both depressing and disheartening, and it's clarifying and encouraging. The Old Testament that we're walking through, everyone and their mother is corrupt and corruptible. And if someone does remain faithful throughout, their offspring are just disgusting. So how hard do we now need to be shaken awake, and how often? From our comfortable narratives, our inner dialogues that soothe us, our outer corroboration that while others haven't measured up, we're better, we're smarter. We're smarter than the average bear. We are the truly faithful, you know, since we come in history after Jesus. Another common 2 Samuel, Old Testament, New Testament narrative, we continue in the sins of our fathers. So if we continue to put ourselves in the clear as self-proclaimed faithful, while them then were revealed as unfaithful over and over for infinity, both ironically seem to fit the definition of insanity and delusion. Let's be brave enough again to interrupt our rhythms and the systems and relationships we're a part of. Can we slow it down? And remember again the deepest and dearest commitment that we have in life, to listen to Him as He measures out our many thoughts and decisions and plans, and can funnel out from that lone necessary priority of Him? Or will we continue to salve ourselves that if we live like everyone else or like everyone else says, then of course everything will be all right and everyone is just plain awesome? Let's become three-year-olds again, adding why to our vocabulary and our processing. Let's each take time rehearsing the love of our Father for His created, renewing again where He might desire our time and energy to be directed and why, while noting whose time and energy is directed toward us and why. And if the priorities of those that we interact with are aligned for the number one priority and why. As we discover the whys and the why nots, maybe remembering the two-year-old vocabulary, setting up some boundaries. No. No more. We know change is uncomfortable and it's necessary. Research reveals our brains crave comfort, and our brains are resistant and subversive to healthy change, even as we're so creative and adventuresome. And each minor change we intentionally make in relationships, we know that it has to have, and it will have, a ripple and a domino effect. Not everyone's going to like change, including ourselves. Let's pray to God as to what immediate recognition of change in our time and relationships gets us more in tune with recognizing and prioritizing God's desire for all of life. God's desires flowing in and with and through our very lives together. Drastic choices to change can be just as overwhelming, yet you and I have not arrived to date, and we won't in the near future. God's love is the true love that steps and demands are and will constantly be being revealed. So whether you feel His call for us to make slight tweaks in time, energy, and relationships, or you recognize the need for a total overhaul, know all of this draws us closer into the true living we have claimed by professing that we're Christians. I would say staying with the narrative historically, the historical narrative, the contemporary man narrative, is not God's blueprint for us. But that is what we know. It is what has been shown to us by those who love us and those who give us our attention throughout our life. It's known, it's comfortable and uncomfortable, it's rehearsed. To change life's speeds and directions takes some real awareness and inner strength, God help us, to go against the common practice flow. And there isn't a map for what is outside of our experience. It could go horribly wrong. It's very hard. Is what we comfortably do horribly wrong? The Old Testament suggests maybe. Quiet or loud, faithful steps by us that are out of the norm sound like a step into the map of Jesus and the lives of faithful followers in the testaments then, and for His people's lives as our testimony as His true children here today. His covenant with David and any and everyone He calls is twofold. I will be your God, and You will be God's people. Men, women transformed into children after my heart. Let's allow him to rework our inner sanctuary, tearing down and building up. Let us give him his time. Let's ponder anew. First, what our faithful God Almighty desires of each of us to be and to do, so that we continue to learn aright how, when, and where we might pour out humble bits of time and energy into the endless, vast souls and opportunities available for us to be of service as his unproud faithful. Lord, guide and direct all pondering of how and why we are living the way we do. Help us continually resist any allure to any ties of pride, to avoid being listed as being in collaboration with the proud, as your very name must put the proud to shame. Help us stay small, God, our all, so you can work your great truth in, through, and with us. Let us seek you first and too often to live into why, when, and where we should be rigid, and how and where we should flex as the living house of faith that you lead, together with fellow believers found, growing us within our groups and systems that you have us operating in today, to all collaborate to serve you in many and very tiny little ways. My fingers sifted through some old notes from a linguistics teacher and the term psychic distance this week. The definition says psychic distance is the extent we choose to be involved and give attention to topics and events that don't impact us or are not of direct connection and concern to us. Today, is there anything our eyes and ears are not instantly, constantly forced to be connected to? Can you and I, should we be available for all needs that we're made aware of at all times, every moment? Hurricanes, wildfire carnage, Vegas bullets. And that's just the surface of broad hurts across this country. The hurts of the world are deep and wide. The hurts of each of our souls, deep and wide. Let's continue to be truly available where our feet are planted. We don't know how to be there for the pain and needs of rebuilding devastated hurricane lands with a chance of, yes, we can rebuild. Or so-and-so town, okay, we're KC strong. We've been dealt something that's too hard to handle, but we're strong enough to handle it. This echoes across our broad, endless horizon of humanity and painful processing. So let's continue to direct our focus to the one who is strong, to be alert, to be shook awake to the needs he reveals in the settings we are intimately a part of, that are literally within our reach, to be touched and supported in the tiniest and truest of ways, among the tiniest of tribes. And whether we focus deep or wide, let God's purest and humblest of works be done on earth. Let them be done on earth as they are in heaven. The earth is his, he made it. His hands form the dry, dry land. Let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord our Maker. He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, we're the sheep and the cogs of his hand. Our bulletin shows the template of his house, creation, his hand upholding and sustaining it. I can't see myself in it. Where are we? Peripherally, we're fully in sync with the will of the good Father, with his creation.